This year's National Youth Poet Laureate is still getting used to the crisp fall weather in Massachusetts after growing up in LA. Salome Agbaroji is a freshman at Harvard. She's a first-generation Nigerian-American passionate about political science and her dreams of a future in advocacy. She joins us now to talk about her poetry and how she's using it to chart a path for representation that she didn't always see growing up. Salome, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're thrilled that you're joining us. So you got into poetry a few years ago during the pandemic. You're in high school, and I hear you were trying to figure out what to do with your hands. For you, it was poetry. And earlier in the year, in April, you became our country's National Youth Poet Laureate. Congratulations. And I want to ask you, poetry didn't always feel accessible to you. So I wonder what changed. How did you come to embrace that you are a poet?
I think it's just redefining what poetry has to be. Poetry as like an academic, you know, field of study, poetry as a fine arts practice has been very exclusionary. It used to be this thing that, you know, we would only describe the birds and nature with the words with the most syllables we could possibly find. And honestly, that's not very accessible for people who define poetry as making a beat on the table at lunch and rapping over it, because that was the kid I was. I was never the kid in a fine art school that learned necessarily of allegories and anaphoras and all of the proper, I guess, literary devices and all those things. That was not me. My relationship was with language was characterized by my favorite rappers. It was characterized by the jokes that were told in my household. And I realized that that relationship with language is just as powerful, just as resonant as what people would call a poet before. So when I started to identify as a poet, I realized that the way that I use words is just as worthy. And I think that's what I try to get people to understand as well, that you don't have to look a certain way for your words to mean something, for your words to be worthy of a stage for an audience.
You have an excerpt from one of your poems to share with us, so let's leap in. This is called In the Palm of Your Hands.
Yes. We know death is just a double dutch to heaven, so we dance. The player tickles piano in the palms of his hands. The heels thankful that all the black keys were designed to harmonize. Amen to jazz and the gut where it's born, to Soul Train and Coltrane in the palms of his hands, to the way Ma and Pa met and that may I have this dance back in 82. Black bodies meet with the eyes to say, I know you, to return, I know you too. This is the audacious exhale of black joy. Not memories of tribal drums and the unknowing of college shirts. It's the laugh so hard that it hurts. Molars on full display, not hand-me-down complacent, content with bare minimum, but today, knowing that the black body can inhabit happiness. The black body can inhabit happiness. It is engaging the inheritance and calling it mine.
There is so much in that, Salome. Can you tell me what you're expressing here, what you want people to know and understand?
When I wrote this poem, my intention was not only to redefine, but also to celebrate blackness. As someone who identifies as an advocate, I see that sometimes the spaces that we enter, especially when we as a community have to face really disheartening events, like the murder of George Floyd in 2020, which was, of course, a very pivotal point in my career because I started poetry at around that time. When we face these really disheartening moments, I find that within our communities, joy and celebration and laughter are one of the greatest forms of resistance. So that's what I wanted to celebrate with this poem, that when we talk about blackness, it doesn't always have to be a conversation about mass incarceration. It doesn't always have to be a conversation about a broken home. That blackness is so much more. There's like stardust in what blackness is.
And the black joy present there was so powerful. You have one more excerpt to read for us. This is from a poem of yours called Pretty Places of L.A.
This is the heart of L.A. that beats and weeps all the same, but investors bleach its arteries with beige colors and caramel fraps. See street markets where black women sell incense and head wraps in market. Perfect location to reinvent hot yoga or to build a bank that will deny those same black women loans. Oh, this is what you call pretty. Pretty shines like heirloom pearls, not pretty like glimmer of grills and teeth. No, pretty like veneers and messy bun. Not pretty like barrettes on little black girls, or street tacos, or graffiti done by people far too talented for their circumstance, or broken glass, or the unironic musicality of barbershops. Not like that sweet little old lady with only six teeth but still smiled at me anyway like I was her own granddaughter. No, that ain't pretty. But I've been to places pretty, and I can assure you that those pretty places have got nothing on the heart of this city.
So much rich imagery in there. And I wonder, like, I'm stuck with the older lady with only six teeth. I'm sure that so many people in your community are represented in your poems. And, you know, from the street tacos to many things, I think it's a story, a different story of LA. What did you want us to take away, or what do you want your readers and listeners to feel when they read or hear this poem?
Yeah, I wrote this poem with two main intentions. One, to celebrate the diversity of LA, and also to shed light on gentrification that is a very real antagonist to those communities. So what I'm saying with this poem is that we like to divide certain geographical regions into like the good part and the bad part, or the place you want to visit and the place you want to avoid. And I wanted to combat that narrative with this poem, basically saying that you will label the darker parts, the shadowy parts, as the place that is bad, but in fact, that's the heart of everything else that surrounds it. And I wanted to celebrate those parts that are usually vilified for maybe high crime rates or, you know, whatever the news wants to label a certain part of a city as.
So you've already done so much in the world of poetry. I'm wondering, what do you hope to achieve at the end of your year as Poet Laureate, Salome?
I think I have a general goal of being a representative for everything that I represent. Like, one of the most heartwarming things is that I've gotten multiple messages from other little Nigerian American poets who say that I really inspire them. And that's the most heartwarming thing. But one, I do have one specific goal, which is to shed light and make a positive impact on the crisis of literacy, not only in America, but internationally. I'm the daughter of Nigerian immigrants, and I've seen illiteracy firsthand. And as a poet, I think it's ironic that I can come from a family where many like didn't even have the opportunity to go to school, and now I use words and literacy as a tool for positive change. So one of my goals is to really make sure that I can do whatever I can to combat educational inequities, to make sure that everyone has access to the very powerful thing that is literacy, and that is voice, and that are words. And that defines and directs a lot of the work that I do. So during my tenure, for the rest of my time being National Youth Poet Laureate, that is one of the issues that means a whole lot to me. And I have work that I plan to do in regards to that.
Salome Agbaroji is a freshman at Harvard and this year's National Youth Poet Laureate. Salome, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.